Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
The number one influence in the life of a child is the parent. Good or bad? Good or bad, it is the parent. And you need to make sure you're demonstrating godliness in front of them. You need to make sure you're teaching the Word of God. You need to make sure you're walking in the Spirit so they can see what it's like. The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Calicut, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
I'm extremely excited about what God is doing through the radio program these last 2 weeks. And you just heard Corey Calicut introduce the show, and now I want to introduce you to Corey Calicut for the third week in a row in the studio with us, man.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic.
I want to tell you, what God is doing through this subject matter that we're going to continue today has just been, it's been wonderful. I've been sitting here listening to you teach and receiving from the Lord myself. The idea that this hits everybody. There's not a person that's listening to this, whether you're in your car or your home computer or maybe on your iPhone.
Right.
Nobody listens to this subject matter that's not touched by it personally.
Right. And I'm not talking about personal theology. I'm not talking about my vantage points. Listen, this is straight out of the scriptures.
Yes.
This is Genesis, the beginning, God's plan, God's foundation for the family.
We're talking about family. We've really last week got into God's original defined role,
right,
and still His defined role today for the father, for the woman, the wife. Now I guess we're going to talk about for the husband and for the wife probably,
right,
first. Now we're going to talk more about the father and the mother as we define the role of the children.
Yes.
We touched on it just briefly last week, and if you have missed the last 2 week shows, let me just give you this real quick before we tie into this. If you go to truthinfusion.com, you can listen to the last 2 weeks' shows in its entirety. Go to the radio page, and they will be uploaded there. Corey in the studio, as we looked at the foundation of the family. Get up to date. Get up to speed. Listen to week one, week two, and now we'll get into week three. God has been moving in this. I want to do this. Let's pray
as we get started
with this, and then let's really let's see what the Word and what God says for the role of the child in the home. Heavenly Father, this touches everyone, and you brought us to this moment for, I think, several people, including me sitting in this studio right now, that need to hear what you say, God, not what Corey Calicut, David Markham has to say, but what the Holy Spirit is speaking to the people.
Bring your spirit.
Lord, I pray that you would open up scripture and truth to the truth seekers out there who want to know, what do you say about my family, Lord? What do you say about the cracks that are in the foundation of our home right now?
Yes.
And ultimately, God, how can you fix those for us? You're the one that gives us the plan. The original intent is yours, and you are the one that fixes the problems that we bring about when we walk away from you, God. We thank you that you love us enough to redeem us back to your original intent.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, I pray that you would bless us with that. Now, Holy Spirit, be the teacher in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, amen. As again, we're talking about the foundation of the family. And again, you got to know God's way is the best way. God's way is the best way.
That's right.
As we talked about the roles He set up, go back to Genesis, the father, the mother, the wife, and the husband, these roles that God set up. Man is the head, wife is the helper, and He blesses them with a union. He brings glory to His name because you replicate godly offspring. That's what, and we want to talk about that today. Now, when you think about our culture, man, we're struggling.
Yeah.
We're struggling. We want to see godly offspring. I know God wants to see godly offspring, but in the forces, in the influence that are out there, that is not the byproduct that's coming about. We're not seeing that in our culture a lot. So go ahead.
Generation after generation, we're seeing our kids falling into a culture that's more cracked and broken. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they're being fed a cracked and broken message. They're living in homes that are cracked and broken, and they are growing cracked and broken in the way they think, in the way they live, in the way they act. Our kids pick up exactly what we give them.
Yeah. That quote I'd mentioned earlier in the first series was Abraham Lincoln saying, the saga of the home is the saga of the nation at large.
Amen.
And we see that most often reflected in our children. How do we know what God is like? Well, we look to the Son. Remember John 14, he told Philip, he said, Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And that's what we're getting at. These cracks we see in the culture from the kids in this generation. And it's not just this generation, it's subsequent generations as well.
Right.
But now what we're seeing is a picture of really what's behind the four walls of the home. But God is able.
Yeah, that's right.
God is able, regardless of what the state of the home is, regardless of what the state of the culture and the nation is, God is able to redeem the family just as he redeemed the individual. So today we want to look at that third role. We want to look at the role of children. What is the purpose of that? What is the intent? What is the responsibility for this union of husband and wife? I want to give you an illustration. A couple of weeks ago, I went and I had do my duty as a juror, and I went to the courthouse. And
civic duty.
I love it. It was a great time. I really do. I enjoy the representation there. But as I came through, you notice, like in most of our federal buildings and our public places such as that, there's a metal detector. I think it's a magnometer or something like that. But it's a metal detector is what we call it down here in East Texas. But as you walk through, if you have a object upon you, specifically metal or some type, it will beep. It will make this sound, whatever, as you walk through. And they have that because they want to know what's going on here. Well, I've walked through those before, and the person in front of me, man, they empty their pockets, empty their purse, they empty everything out, and they walk through, and it beeped. And I'm like, man, what's going on? That gave them everything.
Yeah,
I don't know if they got a metal plate or something like going on in their body. But then I noticed I'd walk through, and I'd have a belt buckle. Mm-hmm. I'd have some piece of metal on my jeans or on something like that, and I walk through, and it wouldn't beep. Come to find out, these things have sensitivity, and they can be set by whoever's running that based on maybe the alert or where they're at or the circumstance or what they're expecting, if there's a heightened security risk. So they can be set the sensitivity. David, what we're seeing in our culture that's bothering us, that's bothering the communities, that's bothering the schools and even our government, is that we've got a generation of students that they're not beeping. There's nothing going off. There's no alarms as they're more promiscuous, as more babies are born out of wedlock, as crime, as poverty, as all these things, these markers that we recognized earlier on the rise, there's really no change. When we look at them, we don't see anybody fighting for a cause. We don't see them rallying together to change their culture, to change their generation. The sensitivity hadn't been set. Mm-hmm. Well, we got to ask ourselves the question, who sets the sensitivity for the children of the culture?
Mm.
It's the home.
Yeah.
It's the family. That's why it always comes back to God's purpose and plan. It's father, mother, and children underneath a godly home. So today we want to get to that point. We want to work on that.
Last night, family was sitting around. We don't really do a lot of TV in my home, but every once in a while we'll watch a movie or something together. And I started saying this, and I can't remember what the movie was last night. It shows how much I was really into it. But I'm very sensitive, let's use the word, to what pipes into my kids' ears and eyes in the home. So, Lord, help me remember what the movie was, because I was thinking to myself, this isn't even a disturbing or bad movie. Let me tell you about Reagan, my 10-year-old daughter.
Uh-huh.
A couple of times, something was said, and it was enough that her alarm system beeped.
Wow.
And she looked at Jennifer, and she said, why are we watching this?
Mm.
And it wasn't even she's just so dialed, and she is so sensitive to
that. Amen.
I'm telling you, if a husband and wife on the TV show kiss,
right,
Reagan gets a little bit nervous.
Right, right.
And you know what? Thank you,
praise
Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Because just like you've said, I don't know exactly what Jennifer and I have done specifically along the way, but something was done correctly by God.
Yes.
That allows that to happen. Now, at the same time, I you know, let the kids go and stay with a friend. And just like you're saying, sensitivity levels are different.
Yes, they are.
Sometimes hypersensitive, sometimes so dull that they just don't register with what comes in the home. Great illustration. I recognize that in exactly what went on in my house just last night.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right. So what does God do? How does the home set this sensitivity? When you turn to look at the role of children, there's two passages. It's pretty easy to remember. Deuteronomy 6 and Ephesians 6. Okay. Both of them chapter 6. When it comes to what are the expectations, what is the purpose of the role of children in the home? We've already talked about that God's intent for the family is to replicate his image, and yep, he does that through offspring. But how do we, since man now, Genesis 5, reproduces his own image with the cravings and the desires of the sinful nature, how do we get back contact? How do we connect our offspring with this connection, this relationship with this God? And yep, God tells his people that. If you will, look at Deuteronomy 6 as we listen to the word of God. It says, in verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes, his commandments, which I command you, you and your son, okay, and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord your God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Now listen to verse 4. This is the Shema. This is what many of the Hebrews would pray, and they would write it down. But listen to what it says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, yeah, with all your soul, with all your strength. And this is it. Here's the role. Here's the relationship. Here's what the father and the mother give the children.
Okay.
And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently,
right,
to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Huge. God gives this instruction to his people before they go in and possess a land. And if you don't know the background of the history right here, guess what? They're walking into a culture that's ungodly.
Yeah.
So it's not a good enough excuse for us to say, well, my kids are just like this because the culture. No, listen, we still have a responsibility to teach in spite of the, sure, culture's absence towards a relationship with God. They were walking in the land of Canaan, filled with Canaanites, foreign worshipers. God said, before you cross over, you need to know this. And what was the primary thing? Did you catch that right there in verse 4? The Lord our God is one.
Hmm. Unity.
Unity. That God is the chief. He is the head of the universe. He's, yeah, the king of the universe. The kids should know that first and foremost. Look at our culture.
Hmm. Right.
That's not what we're saying. Instead, what we're saying is, well, your God can be number one for you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we say God, but when we say God, we're talking about all gods.
And then we get back to, and man did what seemed right in his own eyes.
Yes, the day of the judges. You're exactly right. We're very close to that.
Yeah.
And it's because we walked away from this. Notice what the teaching was. One, that God is one, that God is supreme. And how should we respond to him? That you should love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Big study we could spend on this.
Sure,
tons of books,
sure,
written on the Shema right here. But basically what this is, it's all-encompassing. Your love for the Lord is all-encompassing. We cannot compartmentalize.
Absolutely.
Teaching to love God. It can't just be on Sunday. Listen, parents.
Come on.
The Spirit is saying this to me. It cannot just be the church's responsibility on Sunday and Wednesday. He is not talking to the institution of the church. That's the second institution. He's talking to the first institution. He's talking to the headmaster and the helper. Mm-hmm. He's saying, listen, you've got to teach this to your son. And check it out. Not just that generation. It ought to follow up to your grandson to pass this,
yeah,
on.
Ultimately, we know the influence of the culture set aside, like you said a moment ago, when our babies come here, they have a darkened heart.
Yeah.
From the first moment, they have a sin factory inside their heart that just a matter of time, it's going to start pumping out the product. And when the Holy Spirit convicts them and draws them and they come to that place of salvation, they still have a sinful nature and a habitual lifestyle after sin that they've got to learn how to live a different way.
Yes.
That takes a big, constant influx of the Holy Spirit through the teaching of the role of the father and the mother. They've got to have a teacher. They've got to have one to disciple.
And I love what he says right there. And these words which I command you, this is verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, shall be in your heart.
In
your heart.
That's good.
It's got to be a commitment. It's got to be the core of your being. You know, when the Hebrews understood heart, they meant bowels, mm-hmm. gut, innermost.
Yeah.
We're not talking about, well, my grandma believed this, my mama believed this, or they went to church here, or they did this. No, it's a heart condition. It is taking these words, or this is my life.
Yeah.
Now, Ezekiel talks about individual accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But right here, when Moses is saying this to the children, what he's talking about is the core responsibility of the parents to teach, to instruct in the ways of God. There comes a point in time, I call it the silver spoon mentality, the spiritual silver spoon. When that teenager turns 18 and he heads off and he maybe begins his own home, he's got to take that spoon out of his mouth, observe it, and look and say, okay, is this what I choose to feed myself on? My parents have had the responsibility to teach me this is God. God is one. You shall love him. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He's made a way for you. They teach them that, but it comes to a point where they've got to accept that. But again, parents, hey, listen, your job is to teach. Your job is to reveal. Your job is to let them know God has a plan.
And
God is the way.
As you had alluded to briefly, and maybe we ought to speak to this for a second for those church babies.
Yes.
Just because they're in the atmosphere and the environment of church doesn't mean that your responsibility is any less than a parent that doesn't have that church family.
It does not. And hey, there's effectual things when you stay involved in a fellowship. There's measurable things that affect the kid's life. It truly does. But one effect that you will never get is salvation is not going to come from attendance. Salvation is going to come from the Spirit. And in the same way, true revelation, true understanding of the teachings of God are not going to come from a man that is seen once a week or from a teacher or speaker that is seen on a Wednesday night. It is going to come from the core values in that godly home. As he said there, look at the subsequent verses there. You shall teach them diligently to your children when you talk with them, when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. It is an all-encompassing, every aspect of life. As you're engaged with your children, you're engaged in the role of teaching them and relaying to them. Too many times, we've abandoned the table. Too many times, we've abandoned the eye-to-eye communication. Too many times, we've abandoned the personal touch that they, hey, I love you, I'm proud of you. And we just assume, well, and don't assume this, man, I want you to hear this. Don't assume that because you're in the right position that it's good enough. And what I mean by that, don't assume because, well, I've heard this before. Well, you know, you bring them to church, and I was always taught you bring them to church, man, God will just take care of the rest. That is not what God's revelation says. If you're a truth seeker, here's what he says. You teach.
It says train them.
Train them.
In the way that they should go.
Can I talk about that real quick?
Come on.
That word right there, that word to diligently teach that he mentions there is a sharpening. Is sharpening. Now in East Texas, man, you grew up around here, just about everybody has a pocket knife. I'm not everybody because I don't have one in my pocket right now. But how does that knife get sharp? Well, they take that whetstone and they make stroke after stroke after stroke. And get this picture. It's not random strokes. That craftsman will find a spot on that stone that he likes, and he will make a consistent stroke after stroke after stroke after stroke until that edge is functional, till that edge is right where it needs to be. The Bible says to diligently teach, to make sharp, to over and over and over again. It's not just on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's not just over prayer at Thanksgiving or Christmas or over your Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon meals. It is as you sit down, as you walk by, as you rise up, as you lie down, that every time they see you, it is a reminder, man, there's a God who loves me.
Yeah.
There's a God who has a plan for me. There's God who's made a way for me.
Can I speak on this personally?
Go for it.
a few times, truth seekers, you may recognize this in your life, a few times that you can think back where God showed up with a moment of truth and one of those epiphanies spiritually, and it just kind of almost knocked you to your knees. A lot of you may know, if you follow Truth Diffusion Ministries at all, that I'm constantly out preaching, teaching, singing. As God reveals things to me, it's my heart to teach those other people, and God keeps me in front of people teaching. And you know what? My kids get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
My kids get to see me in the role of preacher, teacher, revivalist, whatever, evangelist, whatever you want to call that. But let me tell you, let me take what you're saying and show you how God brought it home to me.
All right.
In the midst of being a minister and my kids growing up, viewing the ups and downs, the strengths and weaknesses of me as a minister and as a father, one day I was teaching a group. I think it was over sanctification. It was some doctrinal stuff, some heavy teaching.
Right.
But that when you grab a hold of that, it just really sets you free in that place in your life. And I looked over at my kids, and here's what God said to me, and it was like a shot to the stomach, Corey. He said, David, what good are you if you teach the whole world this stuff, but your kids don't understand it?
Man.
And here's what I realized in that day. I was spending more time and effort on other members of the body.
Right.
And not enough discipling and teaching time for my own kids.
Yes.
They were missing me as the father teacher because I thought, I can't assume that because they hear me speak these words in church settings,
right,
that that's enough.
Right.
I've got to be a father teacher.
Yes. That's what they need to see. That's what they need to see. On average, students of this generation, in this culture, 7.5 hours of media. 7.5 hours a day of media. That's the average. That means some are listening more through videos, through websites, through music, are getting more than that. And you could go on, you could look at different influences in the lives of our children, but you know, trend and statistic after statistic keeps coming back the same thing. The number one influence in the life of a child is the parent. Good or bad, it is the parent. It does not matter. For years, as a youth pastor, I used to say, man, you need to make sure your kids don't watch that movie and listen to that music. And that is correct. That's right. But the number one influence, you know what I should have been saying? Hey, you need to make sure you're demonstrating godliness in front of them.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you're teaching the Word of God. You need to make sure you're walking in the Spirit so they can see what it's like to live in the very presence of God.
And as this scripture in Deuteronomy bears out, it's a consistency.
Yes, it is.
That's huge.
It is.
It's unity in the family and a consistency of the Word pouring over those kids.
And we see the consistency in the Word, as I said earlier, Deuteronomy 6. Now I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 6. What Paul says to the believers, David, you illustrated this. I mean, generation after generation, it's a similar problem from the biblical culture to our culture, the breakdown, the cracks in the foundation of the family. Look what Paul says to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 6, starting at verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. We see the exact same roles that were mentioned in Genesis that are repeated in Deuteronomy right here in Ephesians. What is it? You have God. It says at the very end, in the admonition of the Lord, in verse 1, it says, obey your parents in the Lord. It's always God is the head.
Right.
His way is right. And then he speaks to the fathers, their role. And then he speaks to the children. Now, I want to talk just about the children right there. In those first two verses, you notice something. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Second verse, children, honor your father and mother. Two different things right here. We've got action and attitude. Action and attitude. We've talked about the role of mom and the role of dad. Now let's talk about the role of children real quick. What godly children, godly offspring, their role in the home is to submit to the teachings of godly instruction. Submit to those teachings and respond with the right action and the right attitude. Now, if we could get that every time, man, we could be selling some books, right? Because that's what we're looking for out of your kids, out of my kids, out of our culture's kids. But essentially, this is what God's Word says. If you're a child out there and mom and dads make you listen to this because it deals with family, hey, listen right here. God's Word speaks truth right into your life. And even think about this. When God references us, A lot of times we look at kids as, hey, little people, come here and learn something. Or as the church always says, and you young people, listen to this.
Right.
Hey, we're all young people in God's eyes.
Come on.
He always references us as his children. He does not say my teenagers.
Right.
He doesn't say my middle-aged adults. He doesn't say my senior adults. He says my children. So look at this through the same eyes. Honor and action. Honor and obedience. Action and attitude.
One good point to make is there has to be both.
There has to be both.
Because you can have good action with a bad attitude, and you're not in line with God's will.
I love to illustrate that. You're right in line. He says, children, obey your parents and the Lord. A common task in my house was, Corey, you take out the trash. That was my common job. I had three sisters, so I did the dirty job.
You had to tote the heavy stuff.
Now, I could walk over there, and I could take the trash. I could snatch it out of the can, huffing and puffing because mom cut off transformers right in the middle, and I'm dragging that trash across the kitchen floor, and it's slurping stuff all over the place. You're getting that nice visual there,
yeah.
And I sling it in the can outside. Some of it goes in, some of it goes out. Now, I obeyed my mom, right?
You took it out.
I took it out, but that's why it's not just action. It's also attitude. He
right.
says honor. It is the attitude by which I do that. So, children, if you're at home, what would be the right attitude? And if it was visual, you could see this. It's not about just doing a task. It is about having the right heart. One of the things that's been taught about relationship is obedience is right away, all the way with a happy heart.
Hmm.
Right away, all the way with a happy heart. Because the authority we recognize in our parents, that we respond in action and with the right attitude. It's coupled right here. That is the role of the children, to submissively follow the teachings of their parents with the right action and the right attitude, both hands and heart.
Yeah.
Now, as God's children, God expects the same out of us.
True.
We're to demonstrate, again, going back to the very first lesson, remember, to demonstrate the unity of heaven in the locality of earth. So some children may be out there listening to this and said, yeah, I get what I'm supposed to do, but it's kind of hard to honor someone that, man, maybe not demonstrating that in front of me. So parents, again, it comes back to us. It is a unity right here in the house that we recognize God is the Lord, that he has put us as a representative ruler, and he has told us to demonstrate his truth in his life, to reproduce or to replicate his image through the home. It's right there.
Amen. And I think there's just some more to be said, man, about applying this stuff. So guys, if you will come back one more time, I think we can wrap all this up and give you some application and show you that it's a lot easier than maybe it sounds.
Amen.
Holy Spirit takes care of business for
us. Yes, he does.
Keep seeking the truth, guys.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas, 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.